Tell me about the time that you decided to go into the army. How did it come about?
I was recovering from a compound fracture in my leg due to a skiing accident. And I was teaching in the College of Technology in Bolton Street. And it wasn't very satisfying. And I saw an ad in the newspaper. Engineers, doctors wanted for overseas service in the Congo and Cyprus. I had been previously in the FCA as a young man. So I decided I'd have a go for that. And I applied and I was appointed. And I was asked to report to the Curragh training camp at 12:30 on a Friday, which I duly did. And I met a colonel. He said, "Oh, there's something on my desk about you. Come on down to the mess. Have a bit of grub." So he brought me down to the mess. And we did
this is Colonel who now?
Brian Hanrahan. He's long since gone, you see.
Okay.
So we went down to the mess anyway, and we had a bit of grub, and we had a few jorums as well. And he introduced me to the Command OC, and the Command OC said to me, "Oh, yeah, there's something on my desk about you. Well, I better get you commissioned." And I remember going down into his office, the tricolour, and the command pennant was on his desk, and a Bible on the desk. And I was sworn in as a second lieutenant. He then called his adjutant, and he said, "We have a new officer here." He says, "Get him into Newbridge, into the military tailor there, and get him a uniform." So I duly did that, and I was driven into it. And fortunately enough, he had a uniform, what I call a hand-me-down uniform, which fitted me. And I bought it, paid for it, and went back to him. And he says, "Now, what are we going to do with you?" He said, "I want you to look after the first station, the fire brigade and everything else." And which I duly did, and then I had to go on what's called a saluting course, which consisted of a week with the Air Corps, a week with the Naval Service, a week with all the different units. But I was commissioned officer at this stage, and after a while, he said, "Do you want to go to the Congo or Cyprus?" And I said, "Yes, I volunteer for them." And I was on leave, and I was cutting the grass in the front of my house, and my neighbour said to me, "Pull your way," he says, "you're going to the Cyprus." And it's in the paper. And in the paper, and you had to go up and see Eamon de Valera, who was the teacher at the time. That's the truth.
So you heard it from your neighbour first?
That's right, yeah. I was on leave, you know, and I was going there cutting the grass, and he says, "Well, you're some bugger." He says, "Only a wet day in the army, and you're off."
That was
it. And
that was your introduction to the army,
yeah,
I imagine.
Yeah, that was it. Never went to military college, no.
Never fired a gun in your life?
I did, yeah, yes. And we were trained in all the weapons, yeah. And we were trained how to salute and to march and everything else. And we were trained what all the other different units did and that sort of thing. But it was an instant course, you know, before getting on the plane to overseas duty.
Yeah, and there were really early days in Irish activities, Irish Army activities, weren't they?
Yeah, we were only getting going, yeah.
Yeah, and the kind of because from an engineering point of view, the kind of military mechanics in the line of jeeps and tanks and that.
There's an artillery corps, there's a cavalry corps, there's an ordnance corps, an engineering corps, signals corps, you know what I mean? And each did their own project. As engineering, I had to get the camp set up and get the troops set up, water and drainage and electricity and all that.
The sort whole of infrastructure.
Infrastructure. Built. And then I had to work with the community as well to get their infrastructure.
Yeah. And so they
but you don't forget that I had a lot of experience when I was in Denver. I'd been working. I started working when I was 16, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, you'd be streetwise, you know what I mean? Don't forget, this is in the early 50s, you know what I mean? Yeah.
But the kind of mechanical engineering, mechanical stuff there, was that supplied to you when you got to Cyprus, or was it exported out?
No, you got it off the British basis. You got it, if you wanted bridging, if you wanted diggers, if you wanted bulldozers, if you want generators or anything like that, you got it off the British. They had an awful lot of equipment there.
Yes. So you were the pick of whatever it was.
Ah, yes, yeah. And you want a helicopter, you wanted like that.
Yeah.
We used Wessex helicopters. We used them as cranes for lifting buildings onto sites. Yeah. And, yes.
Must have been a great experience for you.
Well, you grow up quick.
You do, yeah. And like you say, you get very wise.
Yeah.
Did you find that being in the army and also having your business here in Ireland and working here in Clondalkin at the paper mills, was that, did one help the other? Did it help you? I mean, were you...
Financially.
Yeah.
You see, I like the new car every 2 years, you know what I mean? I like nice holidays and things like that. the taxman wasn't as heavy as he is now at the moment.
were things done really with a wink and a nod in those days?
I wouldn't say no. There was just regulations that you had to do, just defence force regulations, you know what I mean? Your dress and your health and your conduct. It's all dictated, do you know what I mean? Even fire extinguishers and heating levels and all that. That was all laid down in and it was handed over from the British, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like the civil service, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, like it is an officer's army.
Yeah. You still hold your title, Captain.
Yeah.
Is that important to you?
Yes, I've been going on ships cruises. They don't know whether I work for Ryanair or I work for...
and what about...
It works. It works. That's the question. It works.
And I
used to do an awful litigation work, went to court, and I got...
Oh, did you do something when the army had ear problems?
Yes, army deafness. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you do there? Who were you? In what capacity were you?
I was the plaintiff oriented, and it was more the regulations, you know. And unfortunately, the army were cut on that. They didn't provide a protective equipment that they should have. But that was very short-lived because they brought out what's called the Green Book, where a man's age and what he did and what he didn't do and how he served, and they were able to assess the level of damages and they paid accordingly, you know, which was a very fair system, you know.
To summarise what we were saying, was your time... with the company here and looking after the engineering side of it, was it? Do you think that if you could change any of what was happening at the time, what would you change? I mean, in hindsight, looking back.
I couldn't answer that.
It was
good
times, you know what I mean?
Yeah. People walked, you know what I mean? I mean, around here, all these. I'm not a racist or anything like that, but I mean, there's too much free money going around here, you know? Yeah. I think if you walk, you're entitled to be paid, and but people getting handouts.
And do you think that in your time there in the 50s and 60s that people did they work hard and long hours, and was there a contentment within the workforce?
Definitely was, yes, yeah. They worked hard and were paid, and they weren't screwed too much for taxes and things like that, you know. So it was quite a... But they did drink a lot, you know what I mean? The people I had with me now, I mean, they just go to the pub at lunchtime, you know what I mean? It's craft workers, you know what I mean? You'd have to go and get them out and get them back to work. Mm-hmm. And that was another problem with the paper mills, the pulp plant. Shift in the pulp plant was six people, and they have a pitch and put course and a thing called a glue pot, which is a bar. And I spent a lot of time there, you know what I mean? And it was a contributory factor. I honestly think it was... No, I'm not a prude or anything like that, you know what I mean? But
did you actually go to the pubs and try to get them back in working?
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I had a couple of instances with them. I had an industrial accident where a fella caught his finger on a gantry carriage. And the insurance surveyor come out, and he was a very competent fellow. He says, now the paper mills, there's a lot of heat and a lot of steam and energy, you know, with the paper making and everything else. And I was just fellow through, and he says, where'd you go for your lunch? Oh, I go down to Robert the pub or something, and did you have a few drinks? I had a few drinks. Well, he says, drinks and this humid atmosphere don't mix. He says, you've no claim. That was it.
I see.
That was before the compensation culture come in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he wasn't getting any money anyway, you know?
Yeah.
It was self-inflicted, you know what I mean?
I see. So it was the culture at the time.
It was, yeah. Yeah, I remember we'd one big job there, and day to work nights, and they used to, when it finished at 8 o'clock in the morning, they used to go up to a pub, local pub, I won't mention any names, and at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they'd get their breakfast in the pub, and they'd be there for a couple of hours, a few drinks, and then go home, and maybe 2 or 3 hours in bed, and go back into it was just heavy work, heavy engineering, you know what I mean? And I was really concerned about it, you know what I mean? We found it very difficult to get insurances and things like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With the type of thing, you know? Welding and mulling and pulling and cranes and gantries and things like that, you know what I mean? You had to be fairly well alert, you know what I mean? You know? We had my younger brother was a safety officer, you know what I mean? But sure.
You had to be on the ball then.
Oh, yeah. But... health and safety now has come in now, you know what I mean? Scaffolding is all sorted out, and people are trained now that you have to have a cert, safe pass thing. You know what a safe pass thing is?
I do.
And I have to have that now. You know, it has changed for the better.
Yes. Philip Bronckhardt, thank you for talking to me again.
You're welcome to come back again anytime you want to.
Well, thank you.